runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 833, Viva Insights with guest Carolina Ketakuri. Recorded Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Hi, this is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio, bringing back my guest, Carolina Ketakuri, who's out of Finland and is a modern work expert whose passion is inspiring customers to take advantage of the full spectrum of Microsoft 365. And her specialty is developing teamwork and internal communications with the help of Microsoft Teams. And of course, Viva is now the new player in that. We talked a year and a half ago, which seems longer ago and yet also seems not that long ago. It was December of 2020. So the almost a year of pandemic at that point. And we were certainly, we were talking about everybody working from home and Teams and so forth. I got this amazing comment on the show, and admittedly, it's a year old also, but I think it's really interesting. What Rod's talking about in the context of today, I think, is very relevant. Let me read it to you. Rod says, just finished listening to this episode for a second time, and I love the conversation you had with Carolina. You both discussed so many interesting ideas. Towards the end of the episode, the two of you discussed how business attitude towards allowing their employees to work from home might have changed, and I hope you're correct. I've wanted to work from home for many years, but haven't had a chance until the pandemic forced it to. I do believe that many employers and managers in my state have had their preconceived notions of what work is and where it should happen, and all of that's been shaken up. The pandemic has shown that people can be productive working from home and can be trusted to do so. I live in a state where most employers would never have allowed their employees to work from home until 2020 happened, and now the majority of people who can work from home are still working from home. However, other attitudes haven't changed. For example, within the first few days of starting to work from home, I had to declare in a binding document what our hours would be. For example, I had mentioned that when I schedule time into Teams to walk the dog. But Rod doesn't have that flexibility, even though he's working from home. His workday has to begin at 7 a.m., and he must work till at least 4 p.m. with a one-hour lunch, just like he did working in the office, and that's the way it is for all of his colleagues. We must specify when we start so they know the earliest that it is that we can end. And if we're still working in an office where someone could interrupt you in a moment, breaking the conversation. Here's the line that killed me. During the pandemic, we've all been working longer hours due to a couple of factors. Many of us are working on COVID-related issues and with their applications. And also, we've been encouraged to work overtime since we don't have to take long commutes back and forth from home. It's like, oh, since you're not commuting, you can work more. Really? Really? That's madness. So now that it's the end of the year in 2020, it looks like we're still going to be working from home for a while, but I don't know what it's going to be like in 2021. Lots of things haven't changed. Maybe we'll just go back to the way things were before March 2020, as if COVID had never happened. Well, Rod, the advantage of reading the comment over a year later is that we know things didn't go back to anything in 2021. It seems like they stayed pretty much the same.
Yeah, very, very interesting comment. And hi, Richard. Nice to be here again.
Good to see you. Thank you. Great to have you on board. What are you seeing in your part of the world with the customers you're working with? Are most people still working from home? Is work from home become just the norm?
I think that many people are returning back to the office. Mm-hmm. And it really has taken me by a little bit of surprise that some companies are really making rules that you have to be at the office, for example, 3 days per week.
Right.
And you can't be remotely on Fridays or something like that. And it's interesting because they have been working remotely for the past 2.5 years. And now suddenly, when it's possible to come back to the office, the companies really are forcing people
insisting on
to
it.
Do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That is stunning to me because in general, it seemed to me that productivity was higher working from home. And I don't know if we were sprinting because we were all kind of freaked out by the pandemic and that was actually tapering off. Like, I don't see the justification for requiring full-time back at the office. I like the idea of the line I heard was face-to-face Fridays. That the whole team came in one day a week to see each other, you know, arguably to do less work, but to also strengthen the team. Like that there was more, they were more productive in terms of raw work getting done working from home, but that there's a power to some FaceTime.
Yes. And I think when I think about the last year and a half since we last spoke and had this session, for example, in 2021, in February, Microsoft launched this whole Viva thing. Mm-hmm. And from February onwards, I think the huge theme and topic for Microsoft and for me and Modern Work as well has been employee experience.
Right.
And we are living in this paradox that we are being super effective and super productive, because during the pandemic, when we have been working from homes, we can have more meetings during our workday, and we can have more chats, more emails going on.
Yeah.
But at the same time, people are really feeling overworked, stressed at work, and we have those very interesting numbers into, for example, into Microsoft Work Trend Index study. And for what I'm thinking a lot with my customers at the moment is that even though you would be maybe less productive or less effective, for example, at the office, it's still good for your mental health.
Yeah.
And it's good for the employees to feel like normal again and have those small talks and conversations. And in the end, that feeling makes them actually more productive.
Right. Yeah, that it's not just the work, right? That there is that sense of belonging, that sense of connection, that's an important part of the equation as well. And I don't know that demanding people to go back in the office is going to encourage that. Like, that to me seems fascinating. And Rod, thank you so much for your comment. And a Run As Radio mug is on its way to you. And if you'd like a Run As Radio mug, write a comment on the website at runasradio.com or on Facebook or LinkedIn. Every show is published there as well. And if you comment there and I read it in the show, I'll send you a Run As Radio mug. It's interesting to me that Viva almost seems to have been, I'm sure Microsoft was working on it before this, but it seems like it was born of the pandemic, that it's this ability to do the employee related stuff digitally, not having to CHR or write emails or anything like that, that all of the resources that are important to an employee, including wellness, are part of a system. Like, this more than most, this seems like a product Microsoft wanted for its own people. Oh, and we should sell it too.
It may be, yeah, because Viva Insights, it's not a HR tool, but what I like it so much is that it has some super simple, super cool things that every employee can utilize during their workday that helps them to feel better at work.
Right. So, I mean, Viva's a bunch of different things. We're going to focus on Insights today. So how do you define Insights?
I think Insights has two different sides. Mm-hmm. So first of all, you have the personal Insights, which is partly the same thing that My Analytics was before.
Okay.
So there are same elements that was in My Analytics. And that's included into licensing. So basically, it's free for all the users.
You own this if you own Office M365. Period.
Yeah, like E3, E5 licenses. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So it's specifically E3 and above, which E3 seems to be the norm. E5 is expensive.
Yeah. E5 is the E3 plus security. So.
Right.
But security is important. Remember that.
Yeah. And we always have this battle over why are they charging us extra for security? I mean, there's plenty of security that comes with any account, but I talked to Sonia Cuff about this more than once, and she said, like, when you're, those services are literally people on the other side doing work on your behalf. That's why you pay for it. It's another level above that. But yeah, it still rubs me the wrong way. It's just like, oh,
yeah.
Extra price for security.
I think that sounds good. Strategic. Yeah. Things going on in there.
Well, and goodness, you know, under the circumstances these days, it's like every bit of security you can get. It's a nasty internet, it seems.
Yeah.
So I mean, being a small business, right, doing the Run As thing and other podcasts, I don't have a lot of infrastructure set up, but I do have M365 accounts. I really appreciate the Viva email I get every day that says, hey, you said you'd do this by this date, and have you considered this? But also the, have you blocked out, you could block out these 2 hours for quiet time. Like, they're interesting suggestions.
Yeah. So there are so many unique things that Viva Insights brings to you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Viva Daily Briefing Mail, many of the people call it spam, but I really, really do like it.
Okay.
Because the briefing mail, for example, tells you that, hey, Carolina, today you have this meeting, and this is the document you maybe want to check out before you go to the meeting. Because it uses a lot of these AI capabilities and machine learning and stuff like that to connect documents, discussions, people from Teams, from email, from for example, Yammer, SharePoint, and tries to help you. It's like your virtual assistant in a way.
Now, if you had a personal assistant as you came in the door, they would essentially do what's in this email. It's like, it's your prep and info you're going to need. Like, don't forget about, you know, da-da-da-da-da. And it's, I mean, obviously, it's the technology just learning and by effectively reading your email. It's a way to get over the creepiness factor of the graph, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because there is always this part where it's like, this thing knows a lot about me, but at least it's presenting in a way that's trying to benefit me, at least.
Yeah, because I remember we had so many conversations with many, many of our clients about Delve. Some years ago, that when you go to Delve, it basically tells you, like, this is the interesting document. And people thought that it shows you, like, everything. But, of course, Delve uses the access rights. You are not allowed to see anything that you wouldn't otherwise have access rights to.
Right.
And I think it was a bit scary. But I think you had a great point at Viva Insights. Does it in a way that you can benefit from the suggestions?
Yeah, it feels less like I'm spying on you and more like I'm trying to serve you.
Yes, I'm trying to help you.
Yeah, organize information for you to help you be productive, to get going right away. I mean, I'm still very much a person who, my day starts by opening email, right?
Yeah.
What do I got to do today? Check the calendar, you know, get everything organized, that sort of thing. Although I tend to do that at the end of the day too. It's like review of the next day. Okay, you know, off I go. But it's interesting to see the tool trying to encourage that. Although that also expresses an opinion about how you should be working. I do know there's certain projects I have, like my best writing time is 9 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Yeah.
And if I need to write at that time, don't open email.
Yeah.
Because that time will be gone. Like, it is interesting. What is your best workflow? And are your tools encouraging towards that or not? Where this...
Yeah.
I don't know how much structure you can put into Viva Insights to say, I want you to prompt me to do my best workflow rather than some default workflow.
I think it's possible. So, Viva Insights, you can utilize the focus time feature. And the focus time will suggest that it books slots from your calendar, for example, to focus or to read your emails or to have lunch.
Right.
Because lunch is also important.
And walk the dog. And always walk the dog.
Yes, walk the dog. But I think you can actually say that you prefer to slots, for example, during the morning or during the afternoon. And then it tries to come up with some free time and fill out those slots.
Right.
But it's, I think it's going to be in development and it will be better in the future as well, I hope.
Better. Although you just poked me with an interesting idea, is that when I mark out focus time, it's not just to remind me to focus and to block my calendar from others. It's also telling mm-hmm. insights, don't bug me now. This is when I want to do this stuff. So that it's learning my preferences too when I use those tools to sort of instruct it about, yeah, I want to work this way.
Yeah. And actually, if you have focus time booked in your calendar, your team's status will also be do not disturb.
Right.
So you won't get any extra notifications and stuff from Teams while you should be focusing.
Yeah, I wish it would tell Windows to do that too. Like I've literally gone to separate workstations now. My focus workstation, I turn off every prompt like that. I literally have a dedicated machine for that that does not beep, bop, or pop toast in any way. Until it gets a Windows update. Then you have to go back through and turn all that stuff off again because Windows knows better than you. But
yeah, of course.
But I'm also a hardware guy. I'm happy to have lots of computers around me. And, you know, this machine that we're recording the show on is a noisier machine. I have a machine for plowing email and I have a machine for focus work. I don't think that's normal. I'm okay with it, but I'm strange that way. But it's hard. When you have a computer, it's like a 2-year-old. Look at me to actually get anything done.
The way I'm focusing is that I will just simply close down every single application,
right?
Other than the one I should be using. For example, if I'm doing a PowerPoint presentation, I only have the PowerPoint open. Yeah. But the problem is that nowadays I need to check something from Teams. I need to find, for example, photos from web browser. I need to check something from my Outlook. So even though I have only PowerPoint open, then I have to also open and close the different programs
to get the info
while I'm doing my presentation. Yeah.
I know if I leave Teams closed for a couple of hours, I'm going to be sad when I open it because it just goes, there's all kinds of things waiting for you there. Like the idea that I could open Teams in like a read-only mode, or I'm not online, just give me the information I need. Like,
yeah.
But Teams doesn't do that yet. And Carolina, I'm going to interrupt for one moment for this very important message. This episode of Run As is brought to you by the Azure Data Conference at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, December 4th to 9th. You've heard the data Q&A shows published on Run As twice a week from the conference. That is a microcosm of the 6 days of fantastic learning available to you from the real-world consultants and members of the Azure Data team that speak at the show. Learn proven problem-solving techniques and technologies you can implement immediately and gain insight into Microsoft's data strategies for the cloud and on-premises. Get answers to performance monitoring, troubleshooting, designing for scale and performance, working in the cloud, and exploring all the new features of the latest versions of Azure Data and Microsoft SQL Server. And if you still have questions by the end of the week, join the conference's closing session and be part of the Data Q&A show on Run As Radio. The Azure Data Conference is at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, December 4th to 9th. Use code RUNAS to get a discount on your registration at azuredataconf.com, and I'll see you there. And we're back. It's Run As Radio. I'm Richard Campbell. That's Carolina Katakuri. I'm probably saying that wrong again.
Awesome.
Finnish tones are tricky. We're talking a little bit about Viva Insights. You said this early on, and I don't think we paid enough attention to it. We sort of went by it, which is that there is a good privacy element to it, too. While it's prompting you and showing you information, it's also only showing you stuff you're supposed to see. And that speaks to, you know, the IT person listening here saying, we've got to set up rules for all of this. Because for the most part, things are pretty wide open in a base Teams and Viva installation. Right? There is a power to being able to see across the organization, but up to a limit. Some information needs to be protected.
Yeah. And I know organizations that when they have discovered that, oh, I can see that document and I can see that conversation, they have been going back to, for example, Teams governance model,
right?
And maybe done more strict rules for open public Teams.
Yeah, and just turning on essentially, this is protected information. I kind of like that approach too, that you can say, this is protected information, which immediately flags it, and then you can get into the subtleties of, okay, well, who should see it and what rights should they have and so forth. But start with just marking protected.
Yes.
Governance is one of those things you can't do up front almost. Like, you kind of have to leave things loose. I just did a show a few weeks ago where it's like, if you lock down teams too much as you come in, people won't use it. You've got to kind of let them run for a while before you start putting the rules in place to apply that restrictions on things. But that things that are inappropriate just don't appear is not a blocker. Like, it's a good strategy for approaching things. It's like, you just don't see the stuff you're not supposed to see. It doesn't say access denied. It just shows you a list of all the things that you are supposed to see.
Yeah, I think it's a better point of view from the also from the employee experience point of view. So you don't all the time get those notifications saying that no access rights, you don't have access to the SharePoint site.
Right.
But basically, it's more towards, hey, these things you can see, and here you are allowed to do your work.
It does get frustrating for folks when they know this thing exists, yet I just can't see it. So it looks like a bug. It doesn't necessarily occur to you that it's actually security, because you don't have the rights to it. But you have to know about it to ask to even get down the path of rights, rather than have a big locked door that says you can't go that way, which, you know, for certain people is very frustrating to show them those locked doors.
Yeah, I think I'm one of them.
Yeah, you know, different personalities, different ways of approaching it. So we're... It's so far, I feel like the things we've talked about in Insights are pretty automated. They're just going to happen. Where is the work in Insights from an administrative point of view? What should we be doing beyond the protecting the right data aspects?
So the basic personal features in Insights are super simple things that the employees can choose to utilize or not. But then Viva Insights has also this another part, which is the managerial and organizational use. And that, of course, comes with extra license.
Oh, okay. So here's where you can spend money on Insights.
Yeah. And that's actually a very interesting part, because now we get to the very difficult conversations with the law department and with HR department, that what information you are allowed to see, for example, from your team members.
Right. So these are so now we're going to bump into things like GDPR, you know, personal information.
Yeah.
And then the context of personal information versus information related to the company too, because a company also has responsibilities to protect employees through a certain amount from certain behaviors, but also has a responsibility to manage the data of the company. Beyond the responsibility to the employee as well. So these are not simple conversations. You don't just get to decide this. Do you see this very much on a team by team basis rather than a whole company, that a given team starts going down the more advanced features of Insights for the managing and leadership tools?
I think the possibilities with the managerial and organizational point of view in the Insights is very interesting. And I really like the idea that it offers you automatic and machine learning information about how the employees are working.
Right.
And then it tells you that, for example, these teams or these locations are constantly working overtime.
Right.
Which basically means that they are using Teams outside their working hours.
Right.
And that means that they are in the verge of burnout, for example.
That's the risk.
So maybe you should do something about that. Mm-hmm. But is that information really something the HR or the manager should be seeing?
Yeah. Do they have a right to that? I think this is sort of the lightest touch, is you're working extra hours. I mean, in a lot of Western culture, it says extra hours is a good thing. You're a diligent worker. I think, again, tying back to our beginning conversation, the pandemic has shown us that overwork is as bad an issue as underwork.
Yeah.
Underwork would be a more sensitive topic in the sense of, is this person actually doing the work they say they're doing, especially when they're working from home?
Yeah.
So there's a privacy debate around what are the hours they're working. And I think for the most part, you'd be able to, I don't think there's a lot of, structure or resistance to that. Like, generally speaking, management should be able to see the hours you're working.
Yeah.
Are there more insights we can get that are more troubling or, you know, represent a more significant privacy breach?
From my point of view, I think that you can use it to really improve and develop your employee experience, mm-hmm. to help your employees to have easier working days. But there is information that you can also use for bad.
Right.
And that's why if you are thinking about utilizing these organizational level insights, you should always have the discussion that what are we going to do with the data and how are we going to interpret the data?
Yeah. And certainly working with the employee. I mean, I have been in a situation where I'm struggling to see if an employee is, you know, being successful to work enough that they should continue to work there. We have remediation plans. It's interesting to me to have that remediation plan monitored by M365. Because I like the idea that we have a set of data that the two of us can look at together. That's less about, did you do this? Did you not do this? Like a little less he said, she said kind of thing to say, okay, well, look, we've been in a remediation plan. M365 has been doing its thing. Here's what it says you've done the past week.
Yeah.
You know, can we talk about this? Do you agree? You know, the tooling can help give a sort of an independent analysis of the work efforts going on.
Yeah.
So the tools can do this then. Like I could, I mean, how granular are we talking about? I can tell how long you worked on a given document or the, you know, how much time you spent reading email. Like,
well,
I think that it could be useful.
Basically, everything you do in M365 leaves a trace.
Yep.
But of course, all the information in Insights is anonymized.
Right.
Anonymized?
Anonymized.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes. So I think that you're able to see the team level.
Right.
But I don't think that you are able to see that, hey, Catherine right here spent 3 hours working on this email on Tuesday.
Right. So it's not providing that level of granularity. Because I've also had the employee come at me saying, hey, I'm working day and night on this, and I don't know that you see it. Right? That you realize how much effort I'm putting into this. So, you know, that employee may want to be able to share that information with their manager. Again, in an arbiter sort of role, the tool would do the measuring for you.
Yeah.
So it's got, you know, less to do with an individual's opinion about how much effort they're putting out.
But actually, I think there are super interesting parts in the personal insights. Mm-hmm. For example, personal insights will tell you, for example, if you did multitask in meetings, the percentage of meetings you have been multitasking in.
Right.
Or it will tell you that how many meetings you have joined in time or joined late.
Right.
And that's only visible to you, but I think that's very interesting information for your own working habits.
Yeah, I mean, and most of what we've seen in Insights is very personal. But I do, it is interesting to consider the idea of how much information should I be sharing with my manager or could I share with my manager? Because we are having a conversation about my work efficiency, you know, my path to promotion, like being able to provide that information again in via the tool in kind of an agnostic way would be really, I think it would be potentially useful, but maybe I'm pushing too far. It seems like you said it's anonymized and I think it's also aggregated across the team.
Yeah.
So you're seeing the overall team behavior and saying, are we, you know, we working too long? Do we need to dial these hours back? Like, and sort of encourage people. I mean, Microsoft came out with that. People are working too long. Like, let's cut half a day off. Like, work half days on Fridays because we're getting more than enough productivity. It's not like the work's not getting done. We're just, you know, again, worried about burnout.
Yeah. And I think the point in Viva Insights is that it gives you those recommendations or tells you that maybe these after hours mean this and this and this, and you could maybe act or do something different like this. Mm-hmm. So it's not just showing your report, but it's also telling you
making
based on studies. Based on those those suggestions are based on like research and right. studies.
And again, and so now I'm concerned about that set of studies represent a particular work style. And different cultures have different approaches to these things. Different parts of the world might look at this differently. Like it is interesting to say, what is the work style that our organization wants to represent? And then have the tool encourage us to move to that towards that work style.
I think that this, for example, this overtime culture is very different from, for example, that if you are typically, for example, in Japan, you're constantly working and it's a great thing. But when you're in Finland, you work 7.5 hours per day and that's it.
You're expected to stop longer, and move on.
Yeah. Yeah, so we are worried if you work longer.
Yeah.
So you also have to know the culture and the company culture to interpret those numbers.
Set those numbers appropriately and to encourage folks to approach it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a Canadian person and a Finnish person having a conversation about a tool largely built by Americans, and I'm deeply concerned about this idea that it would reflect that particular culture. So I'd want to tune it to the culture of my organization.
Yeah.
And make those encouragements. I don't think anyone's going to have a problem with the personal insights. The fact that the tool is helping is watching you and telling you how you're working, and that your tendencies is great. The being able to share with the boss thing, I think, is a very powerful aspect that has to be done judiciously and potentially very helpful for someone who struggles to advocate for themselves. Like, can you imagine? I can imagine how useful this tool will be for someone who is intimidated by their boss or has a tough time expressing themselves. So like, let the work speaks for itself.
Yeah.
Let the meta of the work, the data about the work speak for itself as well. Like, this could be a great advocacy tool.
Yeah. And I know, for example, that you can have goals for your team that you can agree with your manager that I try to increase my joining in meetings in time.
Right.
So I want to join 95% of meetings in time. So that can be one of your goals.
Yes.
And then you can follow the goal in Viva Insights.
Yeah.
And there's your manager.
If you want to get more delvey, it's how many times do you join the meeting on time and have already reviewed the material before you got there?
Yeah. That's another thing.
Because in theory, M365 knows this, knows you got the documents, knows you actually opened them.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not we can't tell if you actually read them or understood them, but at least went through the motions of preparing for a meeting. But I'm immediately diving into another level of this. make the idea that we have tooling here that could make for more effective meetings. I'm waiting for Insights to say to me, is this meeting necessary? Or isn't this all that we need to agree to? Like,
and actually, Viva Insights will tell you if you have promised to do something,
right,
but you haven't done it. Because you have this Stay Connected tab in Viva Insights, and it will tell you that, for example, you sent this email where you wrote that I will set up a meeting. And then it will ask you that did you really set up the meeting?
Right.
And you can do it right from the Viva Insights. And that's, I think, is a really, really cool feature.
Now you're getting deeply into that automated agent part where it's parsing the text I'm writing to find the work items that need to be done and then seeing if they're there.
Yeah, it may feel a bit of spying, but I think it's really helpful, actually, because
I think people generally want to do what they say. And the fact that a tool could help me do what I say I'll do is constructive. We're humming along the fine edge of the uncanny valley here. It could easily get creepy. You've got to approach it well and also acknowledge that it's like, you did say this, I presume you want to do it, so let me help you make sure it happens. This is cool and interesting. It's an interesting balancing act for what's appropriate here. I mean, from an IT perspective, it sounds like for the most part this stuff just happens. When we get into the manager parts is when we have to have a conversation with managers and make sure there's some training to do that more advanced insights parts. It also still feels like it's early days.
Yeah, definitely. During this year and a couple of months when Viva Insights has existed, there have been so many new features already. But I think it's vastly developing in the future as well.
Yeah, yeah. I could easily see a, you know, promotion goals section to this that you interact with your boss on, and we are moving towards these things. I like the idea of having a third party arbiter that purely looks at data.
Yeah.
When you're going to have a conversation with the HR about, you know, I don't feel like I'm getting the opportunities from my manager. You know, how do I show that I'm being productive without them having to define it all?
Yeah.
You know, that it's interesting. It seems like a potential playing field leveler inside of organizations to have these tools, you know, show the net output of work and be able to assess it in dispassionately, unbiased.
Yeah, because the data is there, so it's only about how you can utilize it.
Yeah,
and how hopefully and automatically.
Yeah, and as agnostically as possible, as little bias as possible. Mm-hmm. Carolina, so much fun to talk to you about this. It's way beyond the email I get each day.
Yeah.
When you start thinking about what an organization could do with this. Thanks so much for coming on and chatting with me.
Thank you, Richard. It's been a pleasure.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.